Let's go. So just we're in the middle of Yalla V'Yavo, but I just wanted to say one thing I forgot to mention last week. Not that it really matters last week or this week, but when Yalla V'Yavo, we normally say on Rosh Chodesh. We mentioned last week that Yalla V'Yavo is strange as that sounded. It really was a shock to me. I'd never heard this before, but it makes so much sense. We explain why Yalla V'Yavo, according to some, is only said on Rosh Hashanah. It's all about Zichron. Zichron is 15 times. Pikadon vayavkei pikdonenu zichronenu. It's so clear that the whole reference is on Rosh Hashanah, God accepting our tefillot. Rosh Hashanah is basically a day of prayer, one of its many, one of its major themes. But we, of course, know we all say it on Rosh Chodesh. That's the time, and we so much say it on Rosh Chodesh that the halacha today, in other words, by the time of the Shulchan Aruch, 1500s, it was widely accepted, obviously, that we did say it, not just on Rosh Hashanah. And before that, okay, and I'm guessing, I don't know how long that custom continued in which countries not to say it on Rosh Chodesh, but by the time Rav Yosef Karo was writing, so he assumes it's so important that if you don't say Yalla V'Yavo, you have to repeat the entire Shmoneh Esrei, just like if you don't say HaMelech HaKadosh on Rosh Hashanah, there are a few, or Meshiv HaRuach, right? If you skip a major thing, you have to repeat the whole Shmoneh Esrei. But we make no mention of Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Chodesh, and as we explained, I think, in our first part in this series, right, that's probably what Rosh Hashanah is all about. I go to Rabbi Silber of Drisha, who explained, I think, very, very beautifully that we don't know why we celebrate Rosh Hashanah. The creation, we explained, that's not so clear. In the Torah, there's nothing. We have no idea why Rosh Hashanah is a holiday in the Torah. There's no event. Every other holiday has an event that is connected to the Yontif. An event, generally, and an agricultural significance. We don't have any of that in Rosh Hashanah. We just know to blow shofar, to blow something. Yom Teruah, we don't even know what to blow, how to blow. That we derive from Yovel, because it's only by Yovel the Torah mentions a shofar, so we connect Rosh Hashanah to Yovel. That's a whole other theme, not for now, but that's how we derive, we blow shofar, because the word shofar is mentioned only by Yovel, not mentioned by Rosh Hashanah at all. But so we don't have a clue, it's only mentioned twice. So Rabbi Silver explained, probably because seven is the number to recognize God, 7 days of creation, after 7 weeks Matan Torah, and 7 years of Shemitah, and seven times seven is Yovel, and Rachmana Lisvan, Shiva is 7 days, a wedding, you celebrate 7 days. So the seventh month is a special month. So therefore, it's the major Rosh Chodesh, and that's why the laws of Rosh Chodesh and how to sanctify the moon are in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. But nonetheless, we ignore Rosh Hashanah. We ignore Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah. Totally. I mean, it's alluded to maybe at the different customs exactly, but we never mention
It's alluded to with the Karbanos.
It's alluded to. I don't even think we say the whole thing. We just say what Korban. I have to look at the exact language, but we never say like on Shabbos we say
Milvad Olas HaChodesh.
Okay, so three words I said. Thank you, Rabbi Yamin. So a very brief allusion, but it's not mentioned in Yalla V'Yavo. It's not mentioned anywhere else. Why don't we mention it? So I think there are two reasons we don't mention it. Anybody want to throw out a reason why we don't mention Rosh Chodesh on Rosh Hashanah? So one reason is because I think is because of the I'll use a modern example. I'm part of the Commonwealth. So in our shul, Baruch Hashem, I get a smile. I think it's really nice. Every week when we say Tulal Hashem Bina, I don't think they did it for Queen Elizabeth. I don't know why, but maybe that's not right. Maybe it's sexist. But they make the blessing for the country. King HaMelech Charles, HaMelech Charles. So HaMelech Charles is our king, and when we have, you have to pray, you can't just pray for the welfare of the state of Israel. You have to pray for the welfare of the country in which you live in. So they make they mention King Charles's name every week now in our shul when they say the Tula L'Shalom HaMedina. So King Charles used to be Prince Charles. So if Prince Charles would come, I'm sorry for the Americans out there. If I know you had a revolution, if Prince Charles would come with Queen Elizabeth, to visit Canada. Nobody cared about Prince Charles. Everybody, Queen Elizabeth, well, and she came to Canada many times. They built a whole highway when she came, and it's still called the QEW, the Queen Elizabeth Way. That's the way when you cross the border to drive to Canada, across the border, you drive on the QEW to get to Toronto. Anyway, so nobody cares about Prince Charles when the Queen is here. So Rosh Chodesh is nice. When Prince Charles comes on his own, Lahavdil. So, okay, people, that's nice. You know, Prince, the future King of England is coming. So on Rosh Chodesh Elul, the future month of, you know, the whole economy. So we acknowledge Rosh Chodesh's night. But when Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Hashanah, the king, Melech, Malchei Hamlachim, that's what Rosh Hashanah is about. The main theme of Rosh Hashanah is Malchut, not Tshuva. Tshuva is almost, it's another question. Tshuva is almost hidden on Rosh Hashanah. They're barely any mention of Tshuva. It's interesting. It's the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, but that's only like today, like tomorrow's the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, and on Som Gedalia. But on Rosh Hashanah, it's not like the Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It's HaMelech, you know? So it's very different. So we focus on the king, so Rosh Chodesh gets shafted. That's reason number one. Reason number two, which I like better, is because the moon is the symbol of jealousy. Because the Torah, I'm sure many of you know the famous Midrash, the Torah says, "Vayivra Elohim et shnei hamorot hagdolim," if I quoted that correctly. God created the two great luminaries, big luminaries, morot hagdolim, et hamor hagadol l'mashalav hayom, et hamor hakatan l'mashalav halayla, the big light to rule in the day, i.e. the sun, and the small light to rule at night, the moon. So the rabbis pick up on this contradiction here. The verse says two great, implying they're equal, and then it says one big and one small. Weren't they equal? Okay, I don't know if that question is like, that question doesn't like have to shake you like, oh my God, but okay, but still, it's a nuance. You can the two big ones, one is bigger than the other. I don't know that's, but nonetheless, we often look for deeper meanings, even in the Torah. It doesn't contradict it. So the rabbis say, well, they were created equal, they were created equal, but the moon complained. You can't have two CEOs. You can't have two people running the company. That's why I always say Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Amital, Aleim Hashalom, the Rosh Yeshivas in Gush, that's a unique situation. That for 40 years, they ran the yeshiva together. They were co-Rosh Yeshivas. And they were different. That's which is good. You want them to be there. Different personalities, different emphasis and learning. But two wonderful people, you know, leaders of our community, and they managed to run each other. That's very, very rare. You have to have one person's on top. The president, the prime minister, the CEO, the general manager. You don't have two general managers. And that's why BlackBerry, Alav HaShalom. I don't know if that's why Jim Balsillie and Mike Lazar, if anybody know what I'm talking about, this Canadian company that was the most valuable company on the Toronto Stock Exchange. Are you kidding? Obama used a BlackBerry. Anybody remember BlackBerry? That was like the phone that conquered the world. BlackBerry is now, it's not called BlackBerry, it's Research in Motion. No, it's called BlackBerry. It used to be called Research in Motion. And whatever. So it fell apart. I don't know if that's why, but they had co-CEOs. Very unusual. So the moon complained, you can't have two rulers. So God said, okay, that's fine. We'll make the sun the ruler, the moon. I mean, the whole Medrash doesn't, you know, don't interpret literally. Well, what would happen if the sun would be in charge at night? Like, what I mean, why didn't make, like, the, you know, this, the moon, it just means the sun, the moon is a pale reflection. That's what it is. The moon, we all know, gives no light, just reflects the light of the sun. So because of that, the moon has no place on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah, tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel yom chagenu. We blow the shofar when we hide, lekasot, we have to hide the month. We don't make mention of Rosh Chodesh because it didn't accept the Malchut, it didn't accept the kingdom of God. And that's why not coincidentally, BlackBerry was the only one. They had an actual keyboard. That was one of their famous things. It was like, you know what I mean? Like it was, what's the word? It was elevated. It wasn't like a Apple phone, you know, it wasn't flat. Yeah. That was one of the key things the BlackBerry had. Okay. Anyway, that's why the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people is Kiddush HaChodesh. The basic reason is because a slave has no concept of time. So this was chapter 12, the beginning of Shemot, the beginning of the Exodus, the actual Exodus story. A slave has no concept of time. So the first mitzvah is time. Okay, that's one idea. But it's also, I think, the idea, this is like a recreation. There's the creation of the world and now the creation of Am Yisrael. And they're parallel each other. And the creation of Am Yisrael, we have to fix the mistake of the moon. And that's why that meets, that's what we say every month in Kiddush HaKodesh. Lemalot Pekimat HaLevana, right? Isn't that what we say when we say Kiddush Levana? We ought to restore the defect of the moon. It doesn't, means the defect of the moon, and we're talking morally. I don't think we're talking physically, right? To make the moon bigger, whatever. Make the lemalopigimad halivana. So that's why that's the first mitzvah, lekadesh, to sanctify the new moon, Kiddush HaChodesh. And interestingly enough, who is that mitzvah given to? Take a look at Shmot Yod Beit. I didn't put the source up, but look in your Chumash, I think. Anybody have a Chumash open chapter? I don't have my Chumash here near me, but I can find one. It's here. I'll read it to you. I'm pretty sure. Just make sure. Let me get it exact. Why not? In case, never trust, you listen, even the Rambam, whenever you quote things by heart, you always make a mistake. Even the Rambam make mistakes like that. That's, rabbis often, all the great poskim, they don't have time, so they quote from memory. They get it 98% right, 99.9% right, whatever. Okay, Vayomer Hashem Moshe v'el Aharon, Beretz Yisrael Limor. And God spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. HaChodesh Azeh Lechem Rosh Chodeshim. So it's very fascinating, I think, that this mitzvah was given to Moshe and Aaron. Because obviously Moshe and Aaron are ripe for jealousy. That's another, as Korach, the first cousin, was. That's why there's a shalshalat, the fourth shalshalat. Anybody know what it was? The first, the shalshalat. It's that long, wavering, not sure what to do. So it's said by Lot, leaving Sodom, because Rashi says he had a lot of money in Sodom. He didn't want to move from Sodom. So he hesitated. And it's said by the servant of Abraham when he's about to make the first woman who comes and fills up the water, he hesitated. So the rabbis say, because he had a daughter, and what's it, schlepping me around the world? I'll marry my daughter. I'm good enough. I don't know if we all know him as Eliezer, but he's never identified that way in the Torah. And the third one, of course, by Yosef. When Asia Potiphar, it wasn't so simple that he wasn't going to sin with her. So there are all signs of hesitation. In all three cases, the person did what they were meant to do. What's the fourth shalshalat in the Torah? Anybody know? If every physician in Blackberry, I see. Oh, my gosh. Okay. What's the fourth shalshalat in the Torah? No, somebody. Any Bali Kriya here? No. Okay. So the fourth shalshalat, again, I should look at it. It's in Parshat Sav. I believe in Parshat Sav, Perek Vav, maybe at Shishi. I think it's the beginning of Shishi and Sav. I can look it up. I'll try. And it's when Moshe puts the clothes on Aaron, a Kohen, to make him the, let me just see, give me half a minute. One thing, Shishi, Sav. I think it's Shishi. If it's not there, I'm not going to look for it. But Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, Vayishchat, Vayikach Moshe Midamo, Vayitenatnach Ozen Aron HaYeminit, Vatnach Moni Adon HaYeminit. And it's when Moshe places the blood in the closing on Aron to make him the Kohen Gadol. And there was hesitation. Because as all great leaders, they don't like to delegate. The greatest of leaders know how to delegate. But great leaders don't like to delegate because 99.9% of the time, the person they delegate to isn't as qualified as they are, which is why they're the great leader. And also, leadership is, someone said the chairs are sticky, once you become in leadership, you don't like to give anything up. So, even Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how the rabbis understood it, had a little bit of hesitation, by that, by making Aaron the Kohen Gadol. Why can't he be the Kohen Gadol? Why not? So, anyways, and, so that's a really beautiful idea. And therefore, Again, he did what's right. He did what he's supposed to, but you know, he's a human being. He had some ambition to have the positions for himself. And therefore, the moon is that symbol of not recognizing God. And the moon, therefore, has to be the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people. And therefore, it has to be given to both Aaron and to Moshe. Okay. Any questions, comments? Okay. Now let's get back to Yalla V'Yavo. You can open up your machzor. You don't even need a machzor for Yalla V'Yavo. You can open your siddur because we do say it on Rosh Chodesh and all the Yomim Tovim. So we were in the middle of discussing. I'm so like now. I can't wait to say Yalla V'Yavo. Like since I learned about it, like it's wow. Like it's so much more meaningful. Okay. So we are going through the eight ways we ask God to hear our tefillah, Eloheinu v'Elohei Avoteinu, our God and God of our fathers, right? Yaleh v'Yavo, our prayer should ascend to heaven. And we give eight expressions, Yaleh v'Yavo, v'Yagia, v'Yireh, v'Yiratzeh, v'Yishama, v'Yifaked, v'Yizacher. They basically all mean the same thing. I mean, you know, just this poetic license. But obviously each one has a nuance of different, but they're all saying the same thing, just more powerfully. You know, so we're going to go through. So I said that the Mefarshim, I believe in the name of the Vilna Gaon. I first saw that in the Otzar Tefillot Seder. I think it's reprinted in the Tibina, that each one of these, words refer to a Pasuk in Tanakh. We've discussed that many times. And of course, our Tefillot are based on Pasukim in Tanakh. But obviously it's the Pasuk then is something indicative of what we're praying for. So we went through Yaleh v'Yavo v'Yagia, Yaleh lo alad Yerushalayim avor simchati. We don't think of Jerusalem. And obviously, I think this year, you know, I'm assuming everybody here lives outside of Israel. I don't know if anybody may hear from Israel. Obviously, Israel has to be at the forefront of our tefillah, maybe more so than other years. But but let's continue. So we got up to okay, Vayira'eh. Now I have to find myself. What's Vayira'eh? So I'm going to share my screen, but anybody want to tell me? I mean, you have to think of a pasuk where the word Vayira'eh appears and shall be seen, right?
Is it based on Mikdash?
What are you referring to?
I don't remember a pasuk, but it usually says that you should.
Yeah, we have that. The Gemara derived in Chagi. Shlosh pamim b'shana yira'eh kol zechorcha p'nei Hashem reikam. Right. Very good. Maybe. That's not the pasuk. It could be. Obviously, it could be, you know, both could be correct. That's actually interesting. Shalosh pamim b'shana yira'eh kol zechorcha p'nei Adon kula. Right. So that could very well be minutes. Okay, good. Well, that's one explanation that we're asking God, and then we're obviously talking about coming to the Beit HaMikdash. That's the idea, is that the Beit HaMikdash is where God lives. Vasuli Mikdash Vishakanti Pitokam, whatever that means. So we want to be seen. We want God. God should see us, that we're coming to pray to him. Good. But the Mefarshim I saw, they had a slightly different explanation, which I'll give you an excuse. I'll give you a good reason not to know, because it's been a while since you laned it. But you're going to lane it on Friday. You're going to hear the pasuk on Friday. Now, what's the pasuk? Let's go here. Here we go. Okay. Vayikra Avraham shema makomu Hashem yira'eh. Asher yemar hayom bahar har Hashem yira'eh. Right, here we are. We're laning now the second day. This is the right after Akedat Yitzchak. Right, don't do anything. Right, that's also a beautiful thing. Right, when Al Tishlach Yad Chalanar, God said to Moshe, this is the laning Friday, don't kill him, or the angel, fine, good, said, don't put your hand. That's of course the name of, I think that's the name of Naftali Levi's book. That's Benny Lau's father. He was he wrote a book on he was the one of the people who negotiated, I think, in Camp David, and he was in the UN, and he was, I think, Shimon Peres' right-hand man, if I'm not mistaken, for a while. And he wrote a very powerful book. I think it's called Al Tishlach Yad Chalanar, because he saved his brother's life. His brother, of course, is Israel Meir Lau, the former chief rabbi of Israel, I think. Israel Meir Lau, famous chief rabbi in Israel. So he was 8 years older, and his family got killed in the Holocaust. He spent the whole Holocaust protecting his brother, which he did. And he was 15, 16. His brother was 7, 8. And then when they came to Israel, he went to work, whatever. He was older. And the brother went to yeshiva and became, you know, prominent chief rabbi. Anyway, so he wrote a book on his experiences. It's translated into English. I forget if, I don't know if anybody knows, but it's in English. Bilaam's Prophecy, maybe in English for some reason. I think so. Anyways, okay. So God tells him, don't touch them. Don't touch him. Valtas lo muma. Why do you need Valtas lo muma? Once we say, do not put your hand on this child and don't do anything, well, obviously you're not going to do anything to him. Why do we need that? So let's take a look. I see if I hope I'm right. Let's see what Rashi has to say. Al tishlach lishchot. Don't slaughter him. Amarlo imkein lechinam bati. This is like unbelievable Rashi. If so, so I wasted my time. I came here for 3 days to sacrifice my, it sounded like everyone was like eager to sacrifice his son. Amarlo imkein lechinam bati. I came here for no reason. Asabo chavala. Let me at least like wound him. Let me wound him. Votsimi men matam. Let me draw blood. Amarlo altaslo muma. No. Don't do a thing to him. Altaslo muma. If you don't believe, it's like unbelievable. Unbelievable, Rashi. Right? To lay him, then he said to God, if this be so, I've come here for nothing. Well, what in the world is going on here? Avram wanted to kill his son. He was excited. So what's the big deal? Why do we think it's such a great thing that Avram was willing to kill his son? He was very excited to kill his son. Well, why would he be excited to kill his son? Because that's how people worship God in the ancient world. That's really what the story of the Akedah is doing in Chumash. I mean, obviously you see I'm, you know, tying in the Akedah because that's what we're, such a major theme on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Right, because in the ancient world, everybody sacrificed their son. That's the way you demonstrated great love of God. You gave God the thing you loved most. So human sacrifice was normal. And therefore, when God tells Avram to sacrifice his son, yeah, so the Medrash says, but you told me yesterday that your seed will be increased through Yitzchak. So how can I sacrifice? That's true. The Medrash does paint this sort of picture. On the other hand, there's nothing in the Chumash by storm. That's a question everybody asks. By storm, Abraham goes pleading with God, save those mamzerim of Hezbollah and save Iran. They're terrible evil, but God have mercy. That's really what it is. I mean, if you think about it, okay, maybe you don't want to think like that. But save the people of storm who are ra'im v'chatim l'shem, who are evil, evil, evil. It goes, driving God nuts to save them. But okay, it doesn't say a word. Kill your son. Doesn't say a word. Because that's normal. That's the way you worship God. I know this is whatever. Maybe you can think about it. Talk about it in Rosh Hashanah. Think if that makes sense. That's what Rashi seems to be saying. Why'd you make me schlep here for 3 days if you're not going to let me at least let me hurt him? At least let me draw blood. So of course that's the Torah telling us absolutely not. You can never worship God through harming another person. That's you don't need an akedah. Yeah, that's a klal gadol. You can never worship God if it means hurting another person. That's never. That's you can't even worship God if you're going to hurt your employer. You can't even take off work to go daven with the minyan. You have to be work at 9 o'clock, miss minyan. Every Rosh Hashanah is long. Too bad. You leave shul early. Together, you get not good at work. It's a slichas. That's your problem. It's not your, that's, you're stealing. That's why the Gemara says that a worker is not allowed to do all the benching. They used to go to work very early. So they used to daven on the job. So the Gemara says, well, you know what? He has to daven on top of the tree. He's picking apples, this apple, and he's on the top of the tree. Oh, he wants to come down. He can't come down from the tree. That wastes time from your job. You gotta work. It's like, we don't think like this at all. And I mentioned the events where Rav Schechter told us that somebody once complained to him at the OU minion, that the Mincha minion in the winter, the OU has a Mincha minion, of course, because you can't get Mincha home. And they do a Hecha Kedusha. They don't repeat the Shmon Esrei. They go, it's not really right. You know, the OU, an Orthodox institution, not repeating. And Rav Schechter said they're obligated not to repeat the Shmon Esrei. They're taking time off of work to daven. All right. So maybe the OU says it's okay. The OU, the boss doesn't mind. To daven mincha, but they do mind if it takes 15 minutes to daven mincha. Daven mincha in 6 minutes. You don't need 15 minutes to daven mincha. So these are very okay. This is a much broad, but that's really where this comes from. That's what the Torah is saying, that we can never hurt somebody. God's telling them, no. You can't even draw blood. Anyways. So Avram, now here why we blow shofar. I mean, that's one of the, you know, historical reasons. Right, this is of course the first allusion to that, the why we blow shofar from an ayil, from a ram's horn, and he slaughtered it tachat bino. Okay, very good. And that's what korbanot are. That's how the Ramban sings. The korbanot are instead of us. The Ramban says, why do we bring a sin offering? We deserve to die because we sinned, but then nobody would be alive. I mean, we're human beings. Of course we sin. Ain't tzaddik bar, it's a sharia tova lo yachtav. You cannot be a tzaddik unless you sin. It's not just that we do sin. The only way to grow is by sinning. If you don't sin, you'll never grow. That's obvious. So the korban is instead of us. Really, on a theoretical level, we deserve to die. That's how the Ramban explains. So the blood of the chatat. Anyways. Here's now we're back to Yalla V'Yafo. That's all for one word in Yalla V'Yafo. Whoa. This is the place that God sees. All right. Hashem should see, shall see the dedication. Bahar Hashem Yira. So that's what, how the Mefarshim explained, that's what the Pasuk, Yira'eh, is. Okay. Very nice. Then we say, what do we say? V'Yiratzeh. What's the Pasuk V'Yiratzeh? Hold on. Anybody? You know this one too. Everybody knows this verse. So this is right here. I'm getting into the mood of Yom Tov, even though we don't say Shema Koleinu on Rosh Hashanah, because right? We don't say it. That's what I say. We don't do slichas. We don't do tshuva on Rosh Hashanah. The concept. Anyway, but we say this in the slichas this morning and then every morning. God will bring us to his holy mountain. So even though it's not the exact conjugation, but that's how the Mefarshim explain it, that the Yira'eh, maybe you have other psukim, is again, and we relate, they're all the same theme. They're all approaching God. That's what this is. Yalav Yav, God should hear our prayer. So the Akedah, wow, that's what we say all the time. God, because Abram was willing to sacrifice his son, that's the way we normally understand it. So too, you should hear our prayers. We're coming to you. And here, Havioti Mahar Kodshi, the same idea. And of course, the rabbis say, Akedat Yitzchak took place on Har HaBayit, right? What later on became the Temple Mount is where Abraham went to sacrifice his son. And here you have the Pasuk in Yishayahu, Vavioti Mal Har Kodshi. We see this on all fast days of Torah except on Yom Kippur. It's kind of funny because it talks about Yom Kippur, but the only fast day we don't say this of Torah is on Yom Kippur. Although Tayyam is Ibkayam, Ki Beiti Beit Vila Yikarei L'Kolamim. This is, I always quote this Pasuk. The purpose of the Beit HaMikdash is not Korbanot. The purpose of, that's the secondary purpose. The purpose is the house is a house of prayer, but it's not just a house of prayer for the Jews. It's such a beautiful, you know, this is, I said before, you know, I'm not a right wing hawk. This is my liberalism. Yikarei L'Kolamim. Well, I mean, the Temple Mount is a place for all nations to come and pray. It's not an exclusively Jewish place. It's for sure not an exclusively Muslim place. That goes without saying. But it's a place that everybody comes to pray, and that's the Ratzon. And of course, we've discussed this many, many weeks ago. What does the Talmud derive from this Pasuk? Anybody remember? Or should I go back and do my... It's great. You know, that's... J.J. Schechter was on, I did a thing for rabbis last night, a little thing with the missile attacks. We wanted to be mechazik some of the rabbis. So J.J. Schechter, I think. So he said, you know, said, what did he say? He said, if you tell a story, if you tell a joke, you can repeat the joke 3 years later. People remember the joke 3 years later. If you tell a, I don't know, something else, I forget, 2 years later. If you tell a Dvar Torah, 6 months later, you can repeat it. You know, how long do people remember the Hebrew Torah for? All right. So, So the Talmud learns her that God prays. Because it says, you'll rejoice in my house of prayer. Obviously, the simple meaning, it's a house of prayer for the nations. But the Gemara, and the beautiful, beautiful idea, says that, no, we'll rejoice in my house of prayer, meaning God prays. This is where I go to pray. And of course, then the Talmud says, the Gemara is not fazed by that. Like, that's okay. Good. That's nice. God prays. So, of course, it's heretical to say that God prays, because you only pray if you have needs. But okay, the Gemara wasn't bothered by that question, because the Gemara didn't take this literally. What does God pray? Anybody remember what God's prayer is? Let me see some faces. Okay. Anybody? Nobody. Okay, good.
He should overcome his anger or something?
Oh, very good. Very good. He should overcome his mercy. This is what Rosh Hashanah is all about. And Yom Kippur is mercy should overcome his anger. That's why we always say the midat harachamim should be more powerful than midat hadin, and he should act with the Jewish people lifnin mishur hadin. He should go beyond the call of duty in acting with the Jewish people. It's a beautiful idea, and obviously the idea is meant for us. It's, we don't care what God prays. It's for us. If this is what God is praying, maybe it's a good idea. We should do the same thing. That's what we should pray. That more mercy and be forgiving, like nimishuradin, even people are not so worthy, yeah, they harmed you, it's okay, like the like nimishuradin, go beyond what you have to do. Okay, that's bayiratzeh. So we're coming to the Beit HaMikdash, right? Bayiratzeh, we're Akedat Yitzchak coming to God's place, and then Havioti Maharkaj, it's the same place. These are both the same places that we come to pray to God. Okay, bayishama. What's Vayishama? Okay, I know this is hard. I mean, you have to think, obviously, this, I cheated. I prepared this in advance. So, okay. Vayishama, so where are we going here? Malachi. Can I find it? Maybe. I hope I have it here. Here we go. It's also a pretty well-known pasuk. Malachi, according to some, this is the last, what's the last book in Tanakh? It's a little hard to know. Is it Divrei Yamim, Malachi, Esther, whatever. It's a little bit hard to know exactly what the last book in Tanakh is, chronologically, whatever. But Malachi, it's a beautiful book, and it's a beautiful parak. Adin Dvaru Yirei Adonai Ish El Re'ehu. Then those who feared God spoke. I don't know. I should put it here. I'll put it in the English also, so you can see it in English. In this vein, that's interesting how they translate. In this vein, have those who revere God, they speak, talking to one another. Vayakshev Hashem Vayishma, God listens. And he hears, Vayikatev Sefer Zicharon. You can understand Rosh Hashanah. Here you go, Sefer Zicharon. I mean, it's so beautiful. Like, this is an illusion. It's the Sefer HaZicharon, Lefanav Lirei Hashem, to those who fear God and think about him, or is they put his theme. Okay, Chosh Sheshmo. When do we use this pasuk? So that's when you say the word, Yishama, this is the verse that, we can think of how God listens and hears, and he writes down in the book of remembrance, right? Those people who fear him. What is the Mishnah? Anybody remember the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot? What we use this verse for? That's it said the Mishnah begins. I should have put the Mishnah up, but whatever. I Yeshvim Boskim B'Torah or whatever. Shkina Beinam. Everybody remember that, right? When 10 people sit and learn Torah. Let me get. Do I have a sitter here somewhere? Where is that? That's in Perek Beit, no? Perek Beit, let me just quickly do it here. I'm sorry, I don't hear. That sound didn't come through properly. Who was talking? I'm sorry, it was sounded all. Just let me find the passage here. I'm sorry, I don't know what, okay, I don't know what's going on here, but okay. Anyway, so the Gemara, the Mishnah says, I can't find it now. If 10 people are sitting and learning, so the divine presence dwells there. Maybe it's in the third parak yet. It's in the third parak. I don't know why I'm so excited to find it now. Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry, I have to mute. I don't know what's going on. Okay, Asarasha Yoshvim, the divine presence comes when 10 people, you have a minion of people learning. And then it says, when we nine of Yilushnaim, so they had to know God, it's not only 10, even if 2 people learn. So they quote this pasuk, as nitvru yireshem ishel re'ehu. When a man talks to his friend, ishel re'ehu vayikshav Hashem v'ishma, when 2 Jews talk to each other, right? We talk to each other. You got a problem. That's that God hears. Vayikshev Hashem v'ishma. Great. I'll just show you the pasuk again to see that, how carefully how our sages read the psukim, right? When somebody speaks to his friend, that's when God listens. So that's the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot uses this, that when two people are learning, that the Shekhinah is there. And then the Mishnah is saying one person, okay, that's it to describe what is all the bridges. So that's the Pasuk of God hears people talking to each other, engaging in Torah. He writes it in Sefer Hazikaron. And then what do we have? What's next? What's Vayifakeid? And he remembers. And so they don't use Vashem Fakad at Saraka Sharamar, which is the opening laning tomorrow, that God remembered the word Pakad. I went through it, I have to look it up. The word Pakad has four meanings in Tanakh. A Pikadon, you know, when you give a, what's a Pikadon in English? A collateral. You know, anyway, so what is Vayifakeid? What pasuk do they quote? So very interesting. So let's go to the chat board. And I don't know. Maybe you're not as excited as I am, but I find this really fascinating. Exodus 3. Okay. So God, it comes to Moshe. Moshe, you got a mission to do. You got to take the Jewish people out of Egypt. You know, and go gather the elders of Israel and tell them, the God of my fathers has appeared to me. Elohei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. By the way, this is what we say, the Shmon Esrei, right? Remember everything we discussed. Kone Yaakov. Elohei Avraham, Elohei Yitzchak. So it's interesting. We add the word Elohei Yitzchak, Elohei Yaakov. But it's based on the pasuk Elohei Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov. I once heard David Feldman, that's Daniel Feldman's father. And he was a rabbi in Teaneck. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham. He's a rabbi in a conservative shul, but, orthodox, whatever, a very observant man, tremendous Talmid Chacham. And I heard him speak once, and he was explaining why he was opposed to, you know, what they do in some of the, I don't know, conservative maybe, I don't reform, I'm sure. They go, Elohei Avraham v'Sara, Elohei Yitzchak v'Rivka, Elohei Yaakov. I get it, you know, I understand. They want to be ecumenical. But he says, if assuming our tefillot, which we assume are based on Tanakh, Avraham includes Sarah. Yeah, I know. In modern times, people don't go for that. But that's since the Chumash says Elohei Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, that's why we say that. Okay, anyways, but that's not for now. Pakod pakadati yadchem. I remember you. This is what Rosh Hashanah is about. God remembers. I'm going to redeem you from your travails. That's what's going on. The Jewish people are suffering. We're being oppressed. So we ask God to remove the oppression. It's not just the word, of course. It's the theme. They're not quoting this psukim because that's the word there. Because the theme is obviously what we are praying for. So that's Vayifakeid. And then the last, Vayizacher. What does that mean? What pasuk is Vayizacher? Anybody? So this is, do I have it up here? Vayikra, here we go. V'zacharti, we say this also, no? Don't we say this on Yom Kippur a lot? V'zacharti l'em brief rishonim asher tzaiti tamer tzitzrayim. This is the end of the tochacha, the end of the rebuke and the curses in Sefer Vayikra. And God says, it ends on a positive note, I will recall. There's been a year of suffering, a year of tochacha, and God says, I will remember the covenant I made with our forefathers. I took them out of Egypt to be their God and the Hashem. So that's Vizikaron, that God redeems us from. I mean, again, Pakod is God taking us out of Egypt. And then when we're taken out and we are punished and all these terrible things are happening, God says, don't worry, I'll remember you. I won't forget the Jewish people. I'm the one who took you out of Egypt. That's Pakod Yifakeh Netchem. I take you out of Egypt and I will be your God. And and that's how these are the eight things. I think it's a beautiful idea. I don't know. To me, it totally revolutionizes how I think about Yalla V'Yavo. Okay, any questions on that or comments? Or if you didn't like it, let me know. And I don't know, but I thought it was amazing. Okay, so that's it. Okay, I mean, not that's it. We just did the first two lines. But Vayizacher Zichroneinu Fikdoneinu. Okay, so these are eight things we say to God. What should He remember? So it's funny. I don't exactly know. I really don't know exactly how that fits now. He should remember our remembrance. Zikroneinu, I assume Zikroneinu Pikdoneinu is just we're emphasizing God should remember. And Pikdoneinu is also to remember in this context. And Pakad, right? If Hashem Pakad et Sarah, Pakod Pakad et Echem, it doesn't just mean to remember, it's to remember and act upon it. That I'm going to do something. I'm going to remember my promise, and therefore I'm going to do something. Remember our forefathers. That's, of course, a major theme in our tefillot, that we pray in the merit of our forefathers, Zichron Avotenu. It's also Imotenu, of course, because Rosh Hashanah, Chana, you know, that the theme of the Haftorah, the first day, is Chana. Chana, why do we read about Chana and Rosh Hashanah? And there are all kinds of reasons, but why do we read about Chana?
Right, and that sets up the nine brachot of...
Okay, so very good. So I thought, right, so the standard answer I was expecting people to say was because Chana became pregnant on Rosh Hashanah, which is how what Chazal say, but I think, Debbie, what you say is more powerful. Chana is a source of prayer. Kama hilchatar, I forget the Gemara's expression. How many great halachas we can learn from Chana? All the laws of prayer are derived from Chana. That she was silently, right? Eli thought she was, you know, drunk because she raks vateha, just her lips were moving. You couldn't hear her. We daven sadi. So Chana is the model of prayer, and we say nine tefillot malchiyot zichronot v'shofarot. We explained that before. We really should have 10 brachot on Rosh Hashanah. We should have 10 because we have kedushan hayom, the sanctity of the day that we have in every yontif, and then we should add malchiyot zichronot and shofarot. But we don't do that. We discussed the debate, which two to combine. Why not? Why do you have to go crazy? I combine Malchiyot, I combine the third bracha, Rav Yochanan ben Nuri. We discussed this in the past. You can ask me later. So we don't do 10 because Chana did 9. We are modeling ourselves after biblical precedent. So Chana is a model of prayer. So I know, I always have to say this because in the way we think, it's very... You know, I always, this came up in my class yesterday in chat, you know, I don't know, I'll talk for myself. I grew up in, you know, democracy and freedom, equality, egalitarianism, you know, all these nice buzzwords. And, the U.S. Supreme Court, if I remember correctly, now I'll talk like an American, which I'm not, so I'll take the Americans to correct me. The U.S. Supreme Court, was it Brown versus whatever, separate but equal is unconstitutional, right? That was on busing, on the blacks in the school, the racial segregation.
I think it's Brown versus the Board of Ed.
Yeah, so not bad for a Canadian. And I see my lawyer sister is shaking her head. Even though she did Canadian law, I assume you did that in law school, Tova? You discussed that case in law school? Okay, very good. So separate but equal is unconstitutional. So that's how we all think. I mean, we grew up here. That's not how the Torah thinks. I don't think. The Torah is sometimes 95% is equal, but you know, woman doesn't have to hear her shofar. So throwing some rain to everybody. I think most people know, technically speaking, a woman doesn't have to hear shofar. That's there are certain things. So sometimes we refer to male and female. Generally, we're more male dominated. That's how the world was and is and whatever. But it is from Chana that we learn how to pray. The rabbis did see them created male and female where there are differences. It's very hard in the society that we live in. Anytime you say anything like that, you know, people accuse you of all kinds of things, but whatever to point out, it is interesting. We say Zichron Avotenu, but Avotenu just—I don't think it just means our fathers. It's an expression. Our forefathers, our patriarchs, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. What happens after Sarah dies? Abraham goes off the stage. That's it. Abraham lived for 37 years after Sarah died. You don't hear a peep from him. Nothing. The only thing is he has to marry off his son, and that's it. The Torah is not interested. God, the Rebbe explained, God's covenant is with Abraham and Sarah. It's not with Abraham. Anyways, okay. V'zichron avotenu, v'zichron Mashiach ben David avdecha. We remember the Mashiach ben David avdecha. That is a question, who is that? Is that Mamish David HaMelech or the future? We'll see in a second, maybe. V'zichron Yerushalayim mir kodeshechem. God, we ask God to remember our forefathers, and in their merit to answer us. Remember, Mashiach, presumably, this is how Rav Hirsch explains it, this is the future, right? Zichron Avotenu is the past. Remember the past willingness of the Jewish people, the one, Akedat Yitzchak. Remember Akedat Yitzchak, and then, thank you. And then they give us merit, and we should be in that zchut. Remember to the promise you made to the Jewish people of the Messianic era, V'zichron Yerushalayim Rekodeshech, and Zichron Yerushalayim Rekodeshech is now. To remember Jerusalem now, the state of Israel, whatever. Now we can say the state of Israel, but for many years we could not. So we have the sort of the past, the present, and the future. That God should remember the past, help us in the present as we look forward to a glorious, you know, future. Basically, Rosh Hashanah is a future holiday. Yom Kippur is a past holiday. We observe them backwards, right? We should really do Yom Kippur before Rosh Hashanah, right? If you think about it, what's Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is about next year. We dip apples in honey. I don't know how many people, anybody, I think I asked last week, anybody eat a head of a fish? Does anybody eat a head of a fish? No? Yeah, here. Yeah. Okay, good. I don't see that. Pigs. Only once in my, I don't know. We're not so religious, I guess. I don't know. We eat, of course, apples and honey and pomegranates.
Yeah, right? We have heads of fish, but yeah. We thought of another cute thing. We buy the little candies, the jellyfish.
Ah, the jellyfish.
And this way you can bite off the head and you're eating the head of the fish.
Yeah, so my wife makes the filet fish occasionally for Yontif. She tells me I have to get a head of a fish, but if they don't take out the eyes, like I can't come into the house. Like, make sure they take out the eyes from the fish. Like, she doesn't want to open up the fish and, you know, see whatever. But that's to put in the bowl. I don't know how to do this stuff, but whatever. Those people who know how to do these things from scratch. But all these minhagim, of course. Why do we eat a pomegranate? Everybody knows why do we eat a pomegranate? Right, I think I mentioned, right? Everybody knows there's 613 seeds in a pomegranate. Weren't you all taught that? Everybody was taught that. I spoke about that before. Navrishkeit, of course. It's based, I mean, it's so funny. Like, I'm telling you, ask kids. Oh, yeah, 613. You ever count, right? I mean, that would be, anyways. But it's based on that we're full of mitzvot, like, every month. So probably some teacher 75 years ago somehow said that, sort of confused that we're full of mitzvot. Like, Rimon, I get it. How that gets to 613. And then somehow it's kind of like the other one that everybody quotes that people don't know is a mistake. And that's that we were redeemed from Egypt because we never changed our name, our names, our language, and our clothing. So I wrote this once in Advar Torah, because like, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that forever. And Eli Fisher, who is the one who translated the Pnine Halacha of Ramalamed into English, writes me an email. It says, Jay, there's no such medrash. It does not exist. And he sent me 25 midrashim. He sent me an article he wrote about this. He sent me like 25 midrashim. This midrash says these reasons, those reasons, but never in one midrash. Every midrash has a different reason. But what he did is he traced that error. Where did that error come from? And what happened, like I said, you know, people, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Rambam, they quote Pesukim by heart. They don't always look at what you think. You think Rav Moshe looked up every single medrash when he quoted? He learned the ones in there, a photographic man. He knew everything. They don't look up every single thing every time they quote. So that medrash just became, so it's really fascinating. So he quotes he traces, I have to find the article. He traces the history of that error. And this Rebbe said this, and then everybody picked up on it. And there's nothing wrong with it per se. I mean, those reasons exist, but there's no such medrash. Okay. There's, I think tonight, for those who don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah, I don't think this is really what you should do. But if you're looking, that's also another one of these, you know, misunderstood minhagim. But if you're looking for something to do because you're tired and you don't want to go to sleep, so count the amount of seeds in the pomegranate. And I want to know how close it gets to 613. You can let me know next week. But what is that minhag not to sleep on Rosh Hashanah? Everybody know what that is all about? So it's not about the
you say you're, if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, your mazel sleeps.
Right. So yeah, I think the Mishnah Berurah quotes that. We don't sleep because your mazel will sleep with everybody. You know, it's like if God would have put don't steal, why would he made a mistake and put it in the Ten Commandments? Should have been Yesh Omrim in the Ramah. The Ramah quotes, there's some have a minhag not to steal. Oh my God, the Ramah's a minhag not to steal. Ten Commandments, new Ten Commandments. But so there's a minhag not to sleep. So I remember at high school, they Rebbe Berurah would say, if you're not learning, that's sleeping. Sleeping doesn't mean not to sleep. It means you have to learn Torah. You have to, but what it really means, you have to get up early in the morning. That's what it means. Doesn't mean the afternoon you can't sleep. It means that it's a Yom HaDin. It's like on Shavuos, you know, that minhag, we stay up all night because the Jewish people have slept in. So how can you get up? It's Yom HaDin. So I'm not saying this is not why I do it. I'm not so righteous. But the one time of year I daven Nates is on Rosh Hashanah. It's the minyan, we started this minyan, first of all, that we needed overflow, but secondly, at the time it started, a bunch of us who started it, it wasn't my idea. Somebody said, well, I come the first year, like 18 years ago, whatever. We had young kids. And the idea is the main minyan used to make a kiddush right before shofar. So the batikin minyan would finish musaf while the main minyan had kiddush. They would sort of time it together. So then people, the husband and their wife, could go home and take care of the little kids and switch. Now everybody's older, but we like the minions, so we keep it. They need the room anyways, but so that's it. So I have it this year, Baruch Hashem, it's October, so Nate's in Trent tomorrow. Minion starting at 6:45. It's not even so early. I mean, it's early, but not so early, 6:45. But you know, other years you can start 6:20. I know in New York it's early, of course, but since we're a little bit west, so always sunrise is going to be a little bit later. So that's really the minhag, is to get up early. It doesn't mean 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you're exhausted from doubling 5 hours and this and that. You can't take a nap because if you can't concentrate, okay, you don't want to be seder. But going to schmooze at Tashlich for an hour, that's not, you might as well go to sleep. And I remember, I don't know why, I think after I graduated YU and I lived in Flatbush for a couple years. So that first year I was in Flatbush for Rosh Hashanah. Oh my gosh. Went to Tashlich on Coney Island Avenue. There was no water. There was like a water fountain. That's where they're like 20,000 people. It was like the biggest social scene in the world. I don't know what still goes on. I almost never do I go to Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah. I can't remember the last time I went on Rosh Hashanah. I go during a ceremony. Usually I go Erev Yom Kippur because I meant to go during ceremony, but I never get around to it. So usually Erev Yom Kippur, I run to do Tashlich a little bit. I mean, whatever, but okay. That's Rosh Hashanah is not, listen, people are people. They have to socialize. That's what we are. We're social creatures. But Rosh Hashanah is less about socializing and more about learning. That's what it means not to sleep. It means get up and learn. And so it's whatever. Okay. But it's okay. I give you, you don't need me, but I don't, it's not so, it's nothing terrible. If you feel you're really tired, you want to sleep for an hour, then get up and learn Hilchot Shuvah of the Rambam. Then you learn. There are 10 chapters in Hilchot Shuvah of the Rambam. That's Rav Soloveitchik said. It must be. The Rambam did that on purpose. To do one chapter a day of Hilchot Shuvah during a Aseret Yemei Shuvah. Okay, let's try to finish. I thought we would for sure finish Yalla V'Yavo today, but I don't know. Okay, because next week I want to talk about Yom Kippur. So that's remember the past, the present, and the future. The past and future. God remember the entire Jewish people. And then we say all the things he should remember for us. It's kind of like Yalla V'Yavo. They're all similar, but obviously with their own nuance. Right? To normally we use that as not such a positive word, but it means to be, to survive, or the remnant, the beitah, should be for good. But it means the beitah, but it's interesting. In my machzor, it says lifleitah letova, like the comma, they don't have a comma after lifleitah. It's like lifleitah letova, go together. We should, be sustained or survive for good. L'chein ul chesed ul rachamim, three forms of mercy. I don't actually know, and I didn't have a chance to look up, and I don't know what's the difference between you know chesed. Okay, chesed and rachamim. Chesed is kindness, and rachamim is mercy. When we ask God to do chesed and rachamim, whereas I don't know, does anybody know what exactly is there really a difference? There's just two ways to say the same thing. Obviously, I mean, we're deserving of chesed, and I don't know. I really don't know. But or it's just okay. The question doesn't bother me that much. But I always like to see what's the nuance and difference. We ask God also chen grace. I don't know what that means. So I don't know what the difference is exactly. We're asking God, or if we are asking for a difference of lechen or lechesed or lerachamim. It's just three ways to ask God for His mercy: lechayim or leshalom, or life and peace. That's go together, life and peace, l'chaim, this is shalom, b'yom ha-zikron hazeh, and then we say, zachrenu Hashem bo l'tova, I'm just trying to finish the paragraph quickly, zachrenu Hashem bo l'tova, God should remember us, in certain nusachs, they don't say l'tova, they only say, zachrenu, they do, they, zachrenu Hashem okeinu bo l'tova, should remember us for good, Ufak Deino, again, to remember Zikaron and Pikadon, again, those two Rosh Hashanah words, Livracha, for a blessing, and He should save us from problems, so we should have with Chaim. So it's interesting, Zev's not here this morning, but why in Nusach, I think you pointed out last week, why in Nusach Sfard it says L'chaim Tovim, in Nusach Ashkenaz it doesn't say L'chaim Tovim. That doesn't mean Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't want Chaim Tovim, but it doesn't say it. I don't know how that happened, what that is, but V'oshienu bo L'chaim, God should save us for life, and Nusach Sfard adds the bracha. And God, through your mercy, you should have pity on us and save us. I'll just spend a couple minutes on the last line. Keilecha einenu, because our eyes are turned toward you. Ki el melechanun v'rachumata, because God, you are a merciful and kind king. And of course, that's what Rosh Hashanah is all about. Ki eilecha einenu, we turn to God. Rosh Hashanah is the day we come closer to God. We recognize God as the king of the world. Ki el melechanun, but God is not a king like some kings. He's a king. That's the theme of Rosh Hashanah, Malchiyot. I mean, Malchiyot is not just the first bracha added in the Shemoneh Esrei. That's the entire theme. HaMelech and Hashem Melech, Malach Hashem Yimloch. The whole theme of Rosh Hashanah is all about Malchiyot. Yiel Melech Hanun V'Rachumata. So that's, again, another idea, turning it into Rosh Hashanah, that we say, basically, God, all these ways, we approach you in so many different ways. We're thinking about all these things. We approach you. We remember all the wonderful things we've done in the past. Remember the promises you made for the future. Therefore, save us in the present. Be kind to us. And we, the Jewish people, we only look up to you. Human beings, you know, it's what Dennis Prager said, like after the Holocaust. He understands some people lost their faith in God. Okay, I get that. But how can anybody have faith in man? How can anybody believe in secular humanism? Okay, and, that's for sure you can't believe in after the Holocaust. But anyways, and God is, that's, we turn to God. And God offers hope and hopefully in salvation. And God should bless us with a wonderful year for all of Klal Yisrael. And they should ask, like we always say, we don't always know what we're doubting for. But God should hear our prayers for good. So who knows? Maybe there's some silver lining. Who knows? And I started with, you know, when Naftali Bennett said, yes, I don't want to talk politics, and now Israel has an opportunity that they haven't had in 50 years. I don't know. Maybe something good can come out of the bad. That's what we always see. There's always a silver lining. It doesn't take away from the bad, but it hopefully there'll be many silver linings. I want to wish everybody Shana Tova. Just very, very quickly, 30 seconds, I'll just review a little bit. We just finished, we discussed why there's no moon. Why we don't mention the moon on Rosh Chodesh, because Prince Charles is not Queen Elizabeth. When he's King Charles, then we can be all excited. And then we said the moon is jealousy, because Ma'arot Hagdolot, and that has no place, of course, on Rosh Hashanah, where we're accepting God as the king. And that's why the first mitzvah given to the Jewish people as a people is to sanctify the moon. And that's why, very beautifully, unlike most mitzvah, there are some exceptions, but the vast majority is Vayedaber Hashem El Moshe. God spoke to Moshe only. This one is spoken to Moshe and Aaron to show that lack of jealousy. The Moshe had a tinge of that. The four times the Torah has a shell, even Moshe. You know, why can't I be the Kohen Gadol? But they work beautifully together with Miriam, the three of them, but the mitzvahs aren't given to Miriam. That's just the way of the Torah. I mean, Kol Tamar LeBeit Yaakov, Betageid LeBeit Yisrael, or maybe I got it in reverse, right? Beit Yaakov and Yisrael, the men and the women. Okay. And then we just went through, continued the Alav Yavu, finish up main, the main part going on. Each one of those eight words at the beginning references a pasuk, Akedat Yitzchak, coming, God remembering us in Egypt, God remembering us after all the punishments and the curses, the Zacharti, he remembers us. Then people talk to each other, as God will hear. So all the beautiful ideas that these words allude to in the Alav Yavo, and that's really what we're praying for, that God should hear our prayers. And I'd say, like I said last week, like Aleinu, Alav Yavo is so important and so beautiful, it got transferred from the, I don't know if this is really historically true, but maybe, I guess it is, at least according to some, it got transferred from our Rosh Hashanah davening to at least all our holiday davening. Aleinu got transferred, which is all about the introduction to Malchiyot, King Gaka transferred to our day-to-day davening. Anyways, I have to go teach at Shatna, Baruch Hashem. We got school till 12 o'clock today, so I have to be in the classroom in 15 minutes. And anyways, want to wish everybody Shana Tova. Please, God, well, next Friday, I know it's Erev Yom Kippur, and I know not everybody will be able to come, but I don't know what else, really, that's the time. So Erev Yom Kippur, you don't have to cook as much. It's only one meal. I want to, you know, so less excuses. But anyway, so please, God, we'll go next Friday at 9:15, Erev Yom Kippur. We should have a Shana Tova, Metuka, Ktivaba Chatima Tova. And thank you very much for coming, really. Thank you. So for giving me the opportunity to teach you. Thank you. Thank you. It's a good for me to be able to teach. So thank you very much. Okay. Chag Sameach. Should be a Yom Tov. Be happy. Shana Tova.
Good to bench you.
Okay. All right.